Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The mother of Jesus and his brothers came to him, but were unable to join him because of the crowd. He was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they wish to see you." Jesus said to them in reply, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The first reading today from the book of Ezra. It's unfortunate because the book of Ezra is so beautiful that we only have 3 days and 2 years of the book of Ezra, and one of those 3 days was cut yesterday because of the great feast of St. Matthew that we were celebrating. But in this book, all about the rededication of the temple, and all about how we are to worship the Lord, and the incredible joy that we're supposed to have when we go into that house, we see a little bit the architectural plan for the church's constant revitalization. After the exile, when Ezra and Nehemiah came back and rebuilt the temple, they were charting for us precisely how ever to be rebuilt. And the church is constantly in need of reconstruction. It's in need of repair. Semper reformanda ecclesia, as the 15th century battle cry was. St. Francis was given by the Lord the command to rebuild his church, which was falling into ruin. And each of us receives that vocation, no matter when we live, because the church of the Lord is constantly in need of continual repair. Not because the Lord didn't build it well, but because he made it of living stones, and we, those living stones, are in constant need of repair and renovation. The rebuilding of the temple, the making it the fitting house of the Lord, cleaning out the debris, the reconstructing the walls, the cleaning that has to take place, all of it is an image of what's supposed to happen in us, who is that true temple. When the Lord Jesus came, he was to be the definitive place of the worship of God. But he wasn't just going to stop there. He was going to incorporate us individually and communally into him who is that temple. That is the means by which we become his mystical body. And so this rebuilding project is always a deeper incorporation into Christ. Today in the Gospel, Jesus talks about that temple, that church that we are through our baptism and are always called to become more of. And he describes that that temple is familial. We can ponder Jesus' clear indication here that the family, the church, the temple he came to build, is one that has a particular architectural plan, one that builds itself on the rock of his word. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it. But insofar as we pondered this just a few days ago, and I know it's already charted the path of your life because you listen fruitfully to the word of God as it's proclaimed every day, we're going to focus on a different angle. Which is the church Jesus came to found is truly familial. And because we're hearing the word of God, because we're acting on it, because he reveals that it's a family, we take that seriously. It's consequential in our life. over the course of much of the night, I was writing a speech that Archbishop Bauza has to give today on intercultural dialogue. And as part of that speech, I was pondering how, in the beginning of time, God revealed to us his plans for us to be familial. That we all have a common father. That we all flow from this common set of parents here on earth, but also from a common father who created us. But as we see in the beginning, God's plan for us to be familial has an opponent slithering around. And even though we may be geographically set next to each other, even though we might be sharing a pew with someone else, that very physical proximity doesn't necessarily lead to the fraternity and familial bonds that ought to exist. We see with Cain and Abel that even though they were brothers, they turned on each other. That there's always a choice that's involved. A choice in which we're going to look at the other as a spiritual sibling. Or that we're going to look at each other with a little bit of competition, with a little bit of envy. As Christ comes to make us familial, to build us up into a temple by recognizing that we all come from the same Father, that we are all members of the same family, the devil's constantly trying to get us to obsess in such a way that he's able to divide us from those familial bonds, to make us in one way or the other Cains instead of Abels. How do we battle against those temptations? How do we build up and renew that temple as God wants? It's by, again, making this familiar reality of the church consequential. How do we treat brothers and sisters that we love? We all know that. We all know the virtues that are involved. So important for that to become the way we treat each other. And all the ecclesioles that build the ecclesia, all the smaller communities that are components of that much larger reality, which is the family of God called the church. So think about those bonds. Think about the love that you have for your parents or for your grandparents. You're supposed to love your superiors even more. Do you? If you come from a family with brothers and sisters, how do you relate to the one that you love the most? How excited you are to be in the person's presence? How supportive are you? How indulgent are you because of your love when, with one idiosyncrasy or another, they tweak you? That same way that you're forbearing of a natural sibling's faults, all the more you're supposed to be to a spiritual sister's faults. How do you build each other up? How do you share the common ways of life? How do you sacrifice for each other, like in a family, a loving family? Family members always sacrifice. That's the pathway that the Lord puts before us. You know, there's a reason why all of reality is familial. Why God created us in a communion of persons in love, modeled on the Trinitarian communion of persons, on that sort of inner familial reality of who God is. It's because over the course of time, we would always be able to use the analogy of the family in order to see that deeper spiritual reality that imbues it all. So we need to ponder both and relate both. There's no greater way that we form that family than when we come to pray in the way the Lord Jesus taught. Father Patrick Payton, who's buried in my diocese and I hope will become the first saint to be in our diocese who would be canonized, the famous rosary priest who, with all types of Hollywood stars in the middle of last century, taught the whole world how to pray the rosary. He coined the phrase that Mother Teresa made even more famous, that the family that prays together stays together. And the corollary is likewise true. The family that isn't praying together, even if they continue to coexist under the same house, isn't really a family, doesn't really have those types of bonds that God wants. But we have to note that praying together means more than praying side by side simultaneously. Praying together really means joining our hearts, joining our souls in response to the unitive power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can pray together as one body, pray in unison, made something greater as a whole than the individual parts we are. Likewise, when we come to Mass, it's important for us to grasp that if one of us were missing, it would impact our prayer. If one of us is distracted, it would impact our prayer. That if one of us consents to what the devil's trying to do right now, and to devitalize this ever-urgent message, that we're all suffering as a result. But if one of us comes on fire, if one of us puts more of ourselves into our prayer, the response is, if every one of us puts more into the singing, if every one of us is trying to lift up our hearts totally to the Lord, it'll contagiously help the others, including those who are struggling to stay awake at this time of the day. It's what it's all about. The Lord, out of love for each of us, has given it to each other as family members, precisely to help us to pray in a way that will bring us into the family of God, both the Trinitarian communion as well as the church, by incorporating us precisely to Him and to each other in this great sacrament. I'd like to make one last application. As the Holy Father comes to our country today, there is that insinuation of the devil to battle against the unitive work of the Holy Spirit in getting us to be divided. There are many polls out there that describe how Catholics in America are divided on every issue. And I think a lot of the journalists who write these polls don't even recognize that they're tools of the devil in doing so, who's always trying to divide. Many of us likewise consent to that same infernal spirit, which we can see what separates us from other family members and focus so much on what divides than on what we have in common, making us Cains toward each other rather than Marys. As we pray this votive Mass for the needs and intentions of the Holy Father, I want to rehearse what we prayed about at the beginning of Mass. We turn to God, who chose His servant Francis in succession to the Apostle Peter as a shepherd of the whole flock, to look with favor on our supplications, so that He may confirm His brethren, Luke 22, the essential aspect of the papacy, and confirm us in a particular way, strengthen us in a particular direction, that the whole church may be in communion with Him in the bond of unity, love, and peace, so that in You, the shepherd of souls, all may know the truth and attain eternal life. At that first Mass, in which the first Peter was present, Jesus turned to the Father and didn't ask Him for help for all the sufferings He would endure later that night in the garden and on the morrow on the way to Calvary. But instead He prayed that we might be one, just as He and the Father are one, that we might have that familial communion that exists in God, so that what? The whole world may know that the Father sent the Son, and that the Father loves us just like He loves the Son. That communion, that familial bond, is essential for people to recognize the identity of Christ as Son of God sent into the world, and the real love of God, as we prepare to embrace our Holy Father with familial love. Let us ask God the Holy Spirit to help us to become one, so that we might be icons in the world of the continued incarnation of Jesus and of the love of God that we receive and are meant to share with each other. This is our faith. This is what brings us together as a family. How proud we are to profess it. Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.